All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Afreila Chanukah to everyone. Today's daf is Membeis 42. We are starting from Membeis 2, 4, 6 lines down in the middle of line Va'amar Belazar. So most remember again, the Gemara started yesterday speaking about the destructive nature of Chanifa, false flattery. So the Gemara continues on that theme a little bit. Any Eda, literally any congregation. Eda doesn't mean like a congregation, like a shul. It means a group. Any group for which there is chanufa, for which I'm trying to say that, from which there is any type of flattery. Now the word ma'os normally means disgusting. We're going to see that actually in this context, that word means something a little bit different. But mu'usa is menusa, or like a nida. Shne'emar, he said, quotes over here from the pasuk from Iyov, ki adas chaneif galmud, because literally an eda that is chaneif, that ultimately flatters, galmud. What's galmud? Shekim b'karchi hayom korin l'nida galmuda, because again in the overseas they call l'nida a galmuda. My galmuda. What's the definition of the word galmuda? Gemula mibayla. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says gemula bedula. So we'll say, see that the word ultimately galmud doesn't mean disgusting, doesn't mean maus. Rather, again, the word galmud means separated. Just like a woman who's anida is separated from her husband, so too, again, one who goes ahead and speaks chanifa, one who goes ahead and engages in false flattery, ultimately, again, is separated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And of course, again, flattery within an ida, within a kehila, within a group, causes separation from one another. But Amar Rabbi Elazar, kol eda sheyishba chanufa v'sof gola. We'll say a very, very severe statement. So Rabbi Elazar says, any kehila, any ida, any group in which there is rampant chanufa, rampant flattery, l'sof gola, in the end will be exiled. Ksiv hacha ki adas chanaf gamud. So it says over here, ki adas chanaf gamud, literally again, a kehila that engages in chanifa gamud will be exiled. Ksiv hasam, and it says there, va'amarta bilvavcha, you will say in your heart, mi'alad li es eila, who has given birth to these, va'ani shekula v'gamuda gola v'sura, and I am shekula, I'm bereft, Galmuda, separated, Gola, exiled, Vesura, and wayward. We'll see another amazing Gemara. Rabbi Abba said, Arba kitos in makablin pnei ashchina. There are four groups that are not able, because of their behaviors, to ultimately receive the Shechina. And who are they? Katleitzin. We'll say, it's actually a very important Gemara. Katleitzin, we'll say, so let's. You know, the English translation of letz is often like a scoffer. So what's a letz? There are some people, you know, it's an interesting thing, that we live in a very entertainment-driven society. Right? Everything has to be entertaining. So what that's unfortunately led to is that sometimes people, they just make jokes about everything, make light of everything. So that's a letz. A letz is someone who nothing is serious. Everything ultimately, again, is jocular, joking in nature. So katleism, so a person like that, unfortunately, never ends up taking life seriously enough as well. Kat chanifim, a group of people, again, who engage in flattery. Kat shkarim, liars. The kat miksapre lashon hara. And those who speak lashon hara, so we'll say these four groups of people, again, the katleism, the scoffers, kat chanifim, the flatterers, Kat Shkarim, the liars, Kat Misapi Lashon Hara speakers, all of these individuals, unfortunately, are not Mekabel Pnei Ashchina. What this means is the following. These individuals may have a portion in Olam Haba. They may receive a portion in the world to come, but because of their behaviors, they will not have direct exposure to the Shechina itself. So the Gemara goes through each of these. Kat Leitzim, how do we know this is true by the scoffers? Tichsev Mashach Yado as Lotzitzim, because literally he has removed his hand from the Lotzitzim, ultimately again from the scoffers. Kat Chanifim, what about again the flatterers? Tichsev Kilo, the Chanaf Chanaf Yavo, because again the Chanaf, the flatterer, will not come before God. Kat Shkarim, the liars. Tichsev Dover Shkarim Lo Yikol Negedeinai, he who speaks falsehood shall not come before my eyes. Kat Misapre Lashonara speakers. Tichsev Kilo kel chofetz rasha ato, you are not a god of desires evil. Lo yegurcha ra, the evil will not dwell with you. Tzadik ato Hashem lo yogar b'megur chara. He who does evil, which in this case again is referring to the misaper lashon hara, is ultimately again referring to the person who seeks lashon hara. He will not dwell before you. Hadrin alach elu ne'emar. I will say mazel tov. Now I begin the new parak. Mashuach Nechama. Now we're going to discuss really a fascinating discussion about the Mashuach Nechama. We touched on the Mashuach Nechama earlier in the Masechta. The Mashuach Nechama was the special Kohen whose singular job was to lead the Jewish army out into war. Actually, you know, it's very appropriate because the battles of Chanukah ultimately were waged by the Kohanim. So here, it's not Dafka, the Mashuach Nechama was actually waging the battle, but just as important as waging the battle, he is responsible for going ahead and ensuring that the morale of the army is in the right place. So Rashi just points out over here, Mashuach Nechama, So we'll see over here, this coin Mashuach Nechama was actually the Mesoras Hashas changes Shenis Rabba to Shenis Barer. This was an appointed position that in the times of the first Beis HaMikdash, when there was Shaman HaMishcha, when there was anointing oil, so this was a position that was anointed as well. It's called the coin Mashuach Nechama, the coin anointed for war. So first of all, the Mishnah says that when he would speak to the people, when he would give his announcements, and we'll discuss what they were, so he would do so in Lashon HaKodesh, he would do so in Hebrew. Because the Pasuk says, it will be that when you come close to battle, the coin will come before the people. Ze Kohen Mashuach Nechama. This refers to the Kohen, ultimately, who is anointed for battle. V'diber alaam b'lashon hakodesh, and he will speak to the people. So the Gemara darshins, that's the pasuk. He'll speak to the people. So the Mishnah understands that to mean b'lashon hakodesh. Now, well, the Gemara will discuss where we know that from. He'll speak to the people, and his message is dafka delivered in lashon hakodesh. V'amar alehim, and he would say unto them, Shema Yisrael. He would say unto them, Rabbo said, now the Shema Yisrael is not the Shema that we recite. He would say literally, Shema Yisrael, listen Israel, Atem Kravim Hayom Alimuchama. He would say to them, today, you are coming close to battle. Aloy Vechem, you're going out to war, Velo Alachechem. But you are not going out to battle against your brothers. What does that mean? This is actually a very moving Mishnah. Lo Yehuda al Shimon, velo Shimon al Binyamin. They're both saying, unfortunately, we've had some dark chapters of civil war. So we're going out to battle today, and this is not a civil war. This is not Yehuda against Binyamin, or Binyamin against Shimon. Rather, Shem Tiplu Biyodam Yirachamu Aleichem. This is not going out to battle against your brother. We're in the event that you fall in battle to your brother, that your brother will have compassion on you. That's not this kind of battle. Shina Emar, he gives an example of where Claudius unfortunately had a civil war, but at the end of the day, again, there was compassion on the captive. Shina Emar, because the Pasuk says, Vayakumu anashim asher nikvu b'shemos, Vayachaziku b'shivya, V'chom amoreihem helbishu min ha-shalol, V'yabishum v'yanilum v'yachilum v'yashkum. So what I say, the Gemara over here, the Mishnah talks about a battle. Actually, if you take a look at Rashi says over here, Vayakumu ha'anoshim ksiv kabe pekach ben remal yohu, shenilcham im achaz b'divayam. So what I say, this is when Malchus Yisrael went to war against Malchus Yehuda in the days of Pekach ben Remal Yohu. And what happens? Sheshavu mibnei Yehuda harbe. So we'll say, so again, Yehuda lost this war in a significant fashion. There were over like 150,000, 120,000, 130,000 people killed, more than that amount taken captive. So what happens? So if you finish the Rashi says, Shvisham hayar navi odeit. So the Navi Oded was there. The Navi Oded, he gives Musar to the kingdom of Yisrael and tells them, listen, Kadosh Baruch Hu delivered Yehuda into your hand, but you must now exercise brotherly compassion upon the captives. Back to the Mishnah, that's what the Mishnah is describing. So the Mishnah says over here, so what did Yisrael do with the captives from Yehuda? So those who didn't have clothing, they gave them clothing, they gave them to eat, they gave them to drink, they gave them oil to anoint themselves. Anyone who couldn't walk, they put them on a donkey. They brought them to Yericho, the city of the date palms, to their brethren, and they took them back to the Shomron. So what the Mashuach Nechama says is just understand who you're going to have to battle against. You're not going out to battle against your brothers. That if you fall into their hands, they're going to offer you compassion. They're going to take care of you. You are going to war against your enemies. Shem tiplu biyadam. If you fall into their hands, ein mirachamim aleichem. They will not have compassion upon you. Therefore, ayarach levavchem, altiru v'altachpizu. Therefore, again, do not let your heart. Ayarach levavchem literally means don't let your heart be soft. Altiru, do not be afraid. Altachpizu, tachpizu means literally don't panic. What does that mean? Ayarach levavchem, don't allow your heart to be soft. Mipnei tzahalas susim, because of literally the neighing of the horses, v'tzichtzuch charavos, and the glistening of the swords. Al tiru, don't be afraid. Mipnei hagafas trisin, don't be afraid because of the clanking of the shields. Well, says this is what armies apparently used to do when they go out to battle. So the soldiers would bang their swords against their shield to go out and make noise. So the Mashiach Muhammad is saying, you know, many of these noises are meant in order to go ahead and fill your heart with fear. Don't be fearful. He says, "Vishavas kalgasin." Literally, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, "kalgasin." So that's actually on my base. We'll see it. Shiva Sakagasin means literally the hordes of soldiers. Al tach bezumi kol koranos. Do not be afraid of the sounds of the horns. Al ta'artzu mipnei kol tzavachos. And don't go ahead and be broken because of the cries of the other army. Ki Hashem Elokeichem ha'olichim machem. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going out with you to battle. Heim ba'im b'nitzchono shel basar b'dam. These other armies, these enemies, they're coming b'nitzchono based on their successes or based on the strength of flesh and blood. Va'atem ba'im b'nitzchono shel makom. And you are coming armed with the confidence that you have the greatest champion of all, and that's the Ribono shel Olam. Plishtim ba'u b'nitzchono shel Goliath. So remember, the Plishtim came. They had a valiant warrior. They came, they thought that they were short of success because of Goliath. Mahayu sofo. What happened to Goliath? So nafal becheref. He was killed by the sword. V'naflo imo. V'naflo amo. And ultimately, again, his nation fell as well. B'nei Amon ba'u b'nitzchono shel Shovach. So I will say, Amon also had a fierce warrior. That was a man by the name of Shovach. So Amon came with the power of Shovach. Mahaya sofo. What happened to Shovach? Nafal becheref. He fell by the sword. V'naflo imo. And his nation fell along with him. Va'atem. Iatam came. But you, Klal Yisrael, you need not worry about this. Ki Hashem Elokeichem ha'olichim lochem lihilachem lochem. Because the Ribono shel Olam ultimately goes ahead and comes with you. He walks with you to fight with you. The Gemara just says, Mishnah says, Zeh machane aron. By the way, the Gemara says, what does it mean that God is coming with you to battle? This is a reference to the idea that the Aron actually went with them out to battle. And I will say, we'll see in the Gemara which Aron this was, because it sounds strange at first, because now the Aron had to remain in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So we'll discuss which Aron went out with the Jewish army to battle. It's quite amazing. Suppose I said, if you think about it, it's really like an inspirational speech prior to going out to battle, a pep talk to the army, just saying, Kodesh Baruch Hu is with you, don't fear. So says the Gemara, Mike Amar Rashi says, Heichi yalof lashon HaKodesh mehalach. And remember, the way the Mishnah started, and this is the tie into the previous Mishnah, is that the Mishnah said that when the Mashiach Melchama would give his speech, he would give his speech b'lashon HaKodesh. He would give it in Hebrew. So Gemara says, how do you know that? Mike Amar, Hachi Kamar, Shene'emar v'daber. Because the pasuk says that the Kohen Mashiach Melchama, our stage says v'diber, he will speak. Ulahalon Omer Moshe yidaber v'ha'elokim ya'anenu b'kol. And later on it says Moshe Ben will speak and God will answer him in a loud voice. So it says daber. It says diber over here. It says daber or yidaber by Moshe Rabbeinu. Ma lahalon b'lashon hakodesh. Just like by Moshe Rabbeinu, the speech that's taking place over there is in Hebrew. Afkan b'lashon hakodesh. So too over here. It's in Hebrew as well. Says the Gemara. So now we've learned out that halacha. So says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, V'nigash ha-kohen v'diber alam. So the kohen will come and he'll speak to the nation. Yochol kol kohen she'yirtze. So Amar thought, any kohen who wants could come and deliver this message. Or I should say, any kohen who you want to ask to give this message will give this message. Talmud lomar v'dibru hashotrim. Therefore, the pasuk says that the shotrim will respond as well. Now, remember again, here the pasuk is saying the shotrim are the ones, and we'll discuss this in depth as well. The shotrim are the ones who give the message after the Mashiach Melchama that speaks about the exemptions. You know, who built a home but didn't live in it, who planted a vineyard. So the Torah says, v'dibru hashotrim. So the Gemara is suggesting that the Torah is comparing the Mashiach Melchama to the shotrim. How so? Mash shotrim b'memuna, just like the shotrim ultimately have to be appointed af kohen b'memuna, so too the kohen Mashiach Melchama is also appointed. Ve'ima kohen gadol. So maybe, why? Who says you need another position called the kohen Mashiach Melchama? Why can't the kohen gadol himself just do this job? Dumya de shoter, because it's comparable to the shoter. How so? Mash shoter sheyish memona al gabov, just like the shoter has someone who is above him. I mean, the shoter is an enforcer, but the shoter has someone who is above him. Af kohen sheyish memona al gabov. So to the kohen Mashiach Melchama has to have someone who is above him. But the Gemara presumes that the kohen gadol does not have anyone who is actually above him. The Gemara says it's not true. Kohen gadol nami ha'ika melech al gabov. So the Gemara says, but it's not true. As we saw yesterday, the Kohen Gadol also has someone who's above him. Who's above the Kohen Gadol, Rabbi Osai? The Melech, the king. So the Gemara says, Ve'ima Sgan, right? Ve'ima Sgan, right? So say, again, say it refers to the assistant Kohen Gadol. Meaning, in other words, so what, again, Rabbi Osai, what the Gemara is bothered by is, why are you creating a new position? It sounds like creating a new position when you already have a lot of people who do this. Rabbi Osai, now it's interesting, by the way, just that the Gemara entertains the possibility that it would be the Kohen Gadol, because one would assume that you really don't want the Kohen Gadol by the battlefield. And the reason you don't want the Kohen Gadol by the battlefield is why? Als Tuma. But nevertheless, again, remember, as we'll discuss, there were actually two different speeches given at two different times. One far away from the battlefield. In any event, what the Gemara is bothered by, or not bothered by, what the Gemara is questioning, is why is that we're appointing a new position? It would appear that we already have people that can do this without the creation of a new position. So say it's the Skan. So say ultimately, again, an assistant Kohen Gadol could do this, to which the Gemara answers, Skan lav memunahu. We'll say, this is a very interesting question. Very interesting point. The Skan Kohen Gadol, the assistant Kohen Gadol, is not an appointed position. He doesn't really hold an appointed position. Now, what does that mean? Disanya Amar Rabbi Chanina Skan HaKohanim Lama Skan Memuna. Why? So this is interesting. Rabbi Chanina, who was himself the Skan Kohen Gadol, see, he said, why is this Skan appointed? Shem Ira Bo Psul Be Kohen Gadol Nichnas Mishal Mishatul. That's what the Gemara essentially is answering. Is, but say, what's the job description of the Skan Kohen Gadol? That if something happens to the Kohen Gadol, he fills in. But if nothing happens to the Kohen Gadol, then what? Then what? Then essentially he's just standing there. Well, so that's why it's an interesting position, because the truth is he doesn't really have additional responsibilities by virtue of his appointment as Sgan Kohen Gadol. Rather, he's just simply on stand. I mean, he's a regular Kohen, he can do Avodah if he wants, but he's just simply on standby. Therefore, the Gemara essentially says that we need a Kohen who's Dafka appointed for this position, Dafka appointed Memuna, but it has to be a Kohen who has someone on top of him. Therefore, again, we appoint this Mashiach Melchama. He satisfies your criteria because the Kohen Gadol is on top of this individual. Va'amar aleim shmaiz, we'll say beautiful Gemara. And remember again, the Skan Kohen Gadol begins his speech by saying, Shema Yisrael, my Shema Yisrael. We'll say, Gemara, why does he begin with this formulation? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishrim, Rabbi Shem, and Yochai. Amar Lana Kodesh Baruch Hu Yisrael. God says to Klal Yisrael, Afil lo kiyamtem ala kriyash mashachris va'arvis, I atem nimsarim biyadam. Such a beautiful Gemara. The Baruch Shalom says that even if you just fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema in the morning and in the evening, even if that's the only zechus, right? Afilu lo kiyamtem ela. Even if you only fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, I atem nimsarim biyadam, you will not be given over to the hands of your enemy. So the Kohen Gadol is trying to give them chizuk. Because what happens when the soldier goes out to war, especially in the Jewish army, the soldier realizes that everything is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you know what, now that I'm doing a little bit of a cheshbon nefesh, I'm reviewing my deeds, I'm not so confident about my spiritual standing. So the Kohen Mashal Muhammad gives them chizuk and says, don't worry. Shema Yisrael, Ribono Shel Olam doesn't need perfection. As long as you have some spiritual merits, even if all you did was reach Shema in the morning and the evenings, that's okay. Al yerach levavchem al tiru. Tan rabbanon pamay medaber imam the koy mashu amachama speaks to the army twice. Pam aachas b'safar v'aachas b'machama. We both say one safar is the border. So one time, first speech number one is given at the border of Eretz Yisrael when they are leaving the land to go out to battle. V'aachas b'machama, and once in the midst of the battle itself. So the Gemara says b'safar mahu omer. So what's the speech of the Mashuach Machama when they're standing on the border? This is actually quite amazing. Shimu divrei ma'arche machama. The Chazru. So the first thing he says is, listen to the words of, literally, Ma'archi Melchama means those who organize or strategize the battle. Well, so now what he was referring to over here is the speech of the Shotrim. So the first thing that Koy Mashoach Melchama says to the people is, listen, the Shotrim apparently got up first. They rattled off the list of exemptions. So the first thing Mashoach Melchama says is, if you're one of the exempted parties, go home. Go home. That's the first thing. B'melchama Mahu Omer, they will say, and that was said at the border of Eretz Yisrael. So at the border, there were no Divrei Chizuk. At the border, there was just the reinforcing of the message of the Shotrim. If you are exempt from battle, go home. Now, also remember, so why does the Kohen Gadol, you ask yourself, why does the Mashuach Melchama have to restate that message if that was already stated by the Shotrim? So again, the Rishonim point out, because who is the Mashuach Melchama specifically referring to? He's referring, remember again, so the exemptions are if you built a home, you didn't live in it, you planted a vineyard, didn't partake of it, and you married a woman and did not yet live with her. And there's a fourth. And what's the fourth? If you're afraid. So Mashuach Melchama is Dafka speaking to that fourth category. What he's saying is, go home. If you're afraid, you need to go home. You need to go home now, because if you are afraid, you are not helping the army. In fact, if anything, if you are afraid, you're just simply a liability. So he's reinforcing that point. Then when they get out to battle, what does the Mashuach Melchama say? Don't let your hearts be soft. Al tiro, don't be afraid. Al tachpezu, don't be overwhelmed. Al ta'artzu, don't be broken. Now he uses four expressions. Don't let your heart be soft. Don't be afraid. Don't be overwhelmed. Don't be broken. Corresponding to the four things that often, again, the Gentile armies would do to put fear in the hearts of the Jewish soldiers. Magifin, Marian, Tzevachin, Veromsin. So we'll say again, they would go ahead and they would clash their swords against their shield. They would call out. They would cry out. They would call out again. Veromsin means they would have their horses engage in stamping. They make all of this noise in order to go ahead and put heart and put. Come here, I'm sorry. Okay, who is it? Thank you. No, don't cry. Oh, thank you. Well, sorry, the shiur today is sponsored by the Ziffers for Refuah Shleima for Pinchas Ben Leah. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, combined with the Zechuyos of the Yom Tov of Chanukah, Father and Grandfather should have a complete and enduring refuah.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Oh, do you want to? Oh. Thank you, Ari. Thank you. Thank you very much. So the Gemara says the following. Plishtim ba'u b'nitzchono shel Goliath. So remember again, the Plishtim came with the success of Goliath. Now, both say, remember, the Mishnah said every army had its champion. So the Plishtim came with the success of Goliath. Goliath, both say, so the Gemara now is going to spend, actually really give us a lot of information about Goliath, which is quite interesting. So the Gemara says the following. So Goliath, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Sha'amat Begilui Panim. We'll say, why was he called Goliath? He's called Goliath because he stood gilui panim, literally means brazenness. He stood with a sense of brazenness against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shene emar, baru lochem ish vayered elai. So remember again, when Goliath challenges the Jewish army, he says, choose for yourselves a man and let him come and fight against me. Ve'ein ish, so when he says an ish, who is the ish? Ve'ein ish, ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The ish, the challenge, literally, Goliath is throwing down the gauntlet to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God, you come and fight against me. Shene emar, Hashem ish milchama. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so God says, Hareini ma'pilo ayad ben ish. He wants to challenge, Goliath wants to challenge the ish, the man, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I will bring him, literally, I will fell him by through the hands of a ben ish. Someone who is known simply as the son of man. Shene emar, the David ben Ish Ephrati. So ultimately, again, when we are introduced to David HaMelech, David HaMelech is not even introduced as an Ish, but rather, again, he's introduced as a ben Ish. So Goliath challenges God, and the Ribbono Shel Olam ultimately kills him at the hands of a mere mortal. Amar Rabbi Yochanan b'Shroi Meir, b'shlosha mekamos lakad piv la'osa rasha. Rabbi Meir says that, or Rabbi Yochanan said, Amar Meir, in three different places, Goliath literally stumbled over his own words. In other words, he said things that foreshadowed his own demise. Echad, baru lachem ish vayered elai. So literally, first of all, he said, choose for yourself a man. Vayered elai means he will come to me, which again, the Gemara interprets as he will come on top of me. In other words, that he'll stand over me after he kills me. V'idach, im yuchal hilachim iti v'hikani. So then next thing he said was, see if you could send someone to fight against me and to kill me. See, he foreshadowed the fact that he was going to be killed. Ve'idach, and a third time, dikamrali l'david, hakelev anochi, kiata bo'ilai b'maklos. Remember again when David HaMelech shows up with his slingshot and his stones. So Goliath turns, what am I, a dog? You came to me to beat me with a stick, with your stones. And yet again, he foreshadowed the fact that David HaMelech was going to beat him. So David, Nami Amarli, David also said to him, Ata ba'ilai b'cherev b'chanesu b'kidon. You come to me again, literally with the sword, the spear, and the javelin. And Hadir Amarli, va'anochi ba'ilecha b'shem Hashem Tzivakos Elokei Yisrael, ma'archos Yisrael asher charafta. And David HaMelech says to Goliath, you come against me. You come against me with your weapons. I come against you in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Lord of all hosts, the Marchos Yisrael, the God of the legions of Israel, who you have degraded. Vayigash HaPlishti Hashkem B'Hara. So we'll say, the Pasuk says, the Novi says, that remember again, literally translated, the Plishti, a reference to Goliath, would go ahead and taunt the army, Hashkem B'Hara. He would taunt the Jewish army in the morning and in the evening. Why? Amr Rabbi Yochanan, kedei levatlon mikriyashma shachris v'arvis. In order to go ahead and interfere with their recitation of Shema in the morning and the evening. Well, so you have to understand something. The story of Goliath is an amazing story because Shaul was essentially paralyzed. Shaul couldn't do anything. He did not know what to do against this Philistine enemy. So pretty much the two armies are camped opposite each other. Klal Yisrael does not know what to do because, again, they don't know how they could possibly overcome this enemy. And Goliath is taunting them every single morning and every single evening. The Gemara says, why morning and evening? At that time, when they're Mekabel Ol Machshon, that time when they accept the Yoke of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's that time when essentially he says to them, no one could save you from me. So the Gemara goes weiter. He went ahead and literally he taunted them for 40 days. So those 40 days ultimately again were correspond to the 40 days in which we received the Torah. Now we'll say, what's the pshat? Take a look at Rashi. Because ultimately again of the 40 days, and we'll discuss what this means. Because of the 40 days that Torah was delayed in being received, therefore, again, this gave Goliath his power. Vayetze ish ben habenim, mimachanos haplishtim. So we'll say the Pasuk, when referring, it's all about Goliath. The Pasuk ultimately, again, when referring to Goliath, calls him ish habenayim. What does it mean, ish habenayim? My benayim. Amirav Shemavuna Shemavuna Mikamom. So we'll say Benayim means literally he was built perfectly. He had absolutely no blemishes. Ushmul Amr Benoni Sheba Echav. Others say Shmuel says that he was kind of like he was the middle of his brothers. In other words, that apparently Goliath himself, the Navi describes him in quite striking terms. He wasn't even the largest of his brothers. Right? He had brothers who were larger, he had brothers who were smaller. Goliath was in the middle. Tiber Bishil Amr Shu Asui Kabinyun. Tiber Bishil says, why does it call him Mina Benayim? He was literally built like a structure, solid. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Bar Meya Papi Vichada Nani. So others say that he was the son. Benayim is a contraction. He had 100 stepfathers and one real father. Others will say, as we're going to see now, we're going to get into the incredible immorality of his mother. Will say, now this was not unique for his mother. The Plishtim in general were known as an exceptionally immoral people. So Benayim, literally the Gemara says that his mother had relations with 100 men. It's a little bit of hyperbole, but the idea is that he had all his mother had relations with all of these men. Obviously, only one of them is his father. So he was the combination of the active relations of all of these men. So the Gemara says, "Vegolias Shmo." His name was Golias Migat from the city. Now, we'll say Sagat. Remember, Gat was a Philistine stronghold. So that seems to be the Pashushat. The Gemara understands over here. Tanya of Yosef, Shakol Doshin Es Imo Kigat. So the Gemara of Yosef says that everybody literally threshed in his mother just like a press. Gat is one of us. In other words, again, highlighting her immorality. Ksiv Ma'aros Vikarinan Ma'archos. Literally, the Pasuk says, Rabosai again, when discussing where he's from, Kol says Ma'aros, and read it Ma'archos, Tanya of Yosef, Shakol Ha'eru Bi'imo. Literally, again, it's a scriptural allusion to the fact that everyone had relations with his mother. Ksiv. Now, the Pasuk over here, the Gemara quotes over here, the Pasuk says, Vayishpi Benova Sher Bi'elide Harafa. So, Rabosai, again, this is all describing Goliath's mother, his family. So it says Harfa, Uksiv Arpa. So we'll say it seems to give two different names for Goliath's mother. It seems to be written Harafa, but ultimately, what I said, it's written some places Harafa, and other places it's written Arpa. Ravu Shmuel, Chat Amar Harafa Shma. One says her name was Harafa. Velamanik Rashma Arpa. Why was she called Arpa? Shakal Orphan Osa Me'achareha. So why is she called Arpa? I will say Arpa means the neck, because everyone had relations with her from behind, meaning facing her neck. Vechad Amar Arpa Shma. Others say her name was Arpa. Velamanik Rashma Harafa. Shakal Doshin Osa Karifus. And others say again her name was, Arpa. Then why do they call her Harafa? Because everyone literally threshed in her like Harifos. Like Abose Sarashi points out over here, Harifos is Chitin Ketushin. In the same way, ultimately, again, that wheat is ground up. So we'll say, obviously, all of this is speaking to her incredibly immoral nature. But again, I don't know that it's unique. I don't know that it's unique by her. This, unfortunately, was part of Philistine society. The Chinu Omer, so to the Pasuk, says, Vatikach Aisha, Vatifros Hamasach Al Piha Be'er, Vatishtach Aleha Harifos. So we'll say, there the Gemara is just bringing a proof that this word Harifos ultimately refers to crushed wheat. Vibai, see me the other possibilities. From here, Vibai, same Hacha, here, Gemara is over here quoting from the Pasuk. From Mishlei, im tichtosh es ha'eva b'machteish, excuse me, b'so charifos ba'ali lo sasar me'alav ivalto. So literally, again, if you go ahead and you grind, tichadesh es ha'eva b'machteish, even if you grind up the fool in the press, b'so charifos ba'ali. Fine. These are all just giving proofs of the fact that harifos refers to crushed grain. Ve'es arba'a. Vers Arbaas Elu Yuldu Laharpa Bigas. So we'll say, so all four of these children were born to Harafa in Gat, Vayiplu Biad David Ubiad Avadov. And all of these sons fell in the hands of David and the hands of his servants. Mainihu, we'll say, so apparently again Harafa had four sons, all of whom were great and mighty warriors, all of whom fell in the hands of David and his servants. Who were the sons? Amrat Chista Soph, Umadon, Golias, Vyishbi Benov. So we'll say these are the four sons: Saf, Madon, Golias, and Yishbi Benov. Yishbi Benov is his name. Literally Yishbi from Nov. So the Gemara says, Vayiplu biad David ubiad Avadov. So literally, again, they fell in the hands of David in the hands of his servant. Dechsiv, Vatishak Arpa Lachamosa, Virus Davka Ba. We'll say, remember again, this is the pasuk from Megillas Rus. Very, very moving pasuk. In the first chapter of Megillas Rus, where again, Naomi's lost everything. She's lost her son, she's lost her husband. She's now going back to Canaan. And ultimately, her daughters-in-law begin by going with her. She tells them to turn back. She tells them to turn back. So the Navi responds that ultimately, Arpa turns back, but Rus does not. Before Arpa turns back, the Navi says that Arpa kissed Naomi, and Rus clung to her. Amr Rabbi Yitzchak, Amr HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yavo'u b'nei ha'neshuka, v'yiplu b'yad b'nei ha'devuka. Literally, the sons of the one who kissed should come and fall into the hands of the one who clinged to Naomi. So we'll say, so just so you should know, the Medrash brings down that in that moment, it's actually quite beautiful, the Gemara says, that moment when Rus and Arpa separated, the Medrash says they'll see each other again. When would they see each other again? When David and Goliath would meet on the battlefield. That's when, again, their two families would come together again. So literally, the children of the one who would cling meaning Naomi, I'm sorry, meaning Rus, would ultimately overcome and conquer the sons of the one who kissed, namely the sons of Arpa. Darash Rava, Beschar Arba Demo Sharida Sheridua Arpa Al Chamosa, Zachsa Vyatsa Vyatsu Mimeno Arba Egiborim. In the merit of the four tears that Arpa cried when she took leave of her mother-in-law, Naomi, which was, because remember, Arpa herself was also, she would have gone had Naomi not said over and over and over again, don't come, she ultimately would have gone as well. In the merit of the four tears that she cried, she had four great descendants. Shene Emar, Vatisena Kolon, Vatifkena Od, Ksiv, So there are four words that are mentioned over there. Literally, she lifted her voice and they cried more. In the schus of those four words, which correspond to four tears, she was given ultimately four valiant descendants. Ksiv, Chetz Chaniso, Vikarinon Eitz Chaniso. So we'll say, so Goliath, when describing his weapons, talked about the size. The Chetz literally means like the handle or the shaft of his spear. Vikarinon Eitz Chaniso. And we read it ultimately again, the wood of his spear. Amre Belozer, Adayin Lo Higi Anu Lechatzi Shvach Osha Ozer Rasha. There is so much more that we could say about the greatness and the strength of Goliath, but we don't. Why? Shmikan Sha'asra the Saper Bishvachan Shal Rishoyim. So from here we see that what? That we do not want to spend too much time speaking about the greatness. About the greatness, ultimately, again, of Rishayim. When it comes to Rishayim, we try to minimize the praise we heap upon them. So the Gemara says, "Velo liftach beklau." So why even speak about the greatness of Goliath at all? La'aduye shvachei de David, to tell us the great praise and the greatness of David. Why, Rabbi Osai? Because despite the fact that Goliath was so strong, was so valiant, was so powerful, David HaMelech still found the strength and found the courage to ultimately go to battle against him. Let's go a little bit weiter. B'nei Amon bo'o b'nei tzchono shol shobach. So remember again, the Mishnah said that Amon had their own valiant warrior, a man by the name of Shobach. Ksiv Shobach, or Ksiv Shofach. So we'll say sometimes it calls him Shovach, and sometimes it calls him Shofach. So what's the pshat? Rav Ushmo Chad Amar Shofach Shmo. One said his name was really Shofach. So why was he called Shobach? Shobach is a dove coat. Dove coat was a very tall structure. He was as tall as a dove coat. The Chad Amar Shobach Shmo, and one says that his name was really Shobach. Shofach, if that's the case, then why do they call him, if his name was really Shobach, why do they call him Shofach? Shekala Roa Osa Nishpach Lefanav Kikiton. Because whatsoever someone would literally spill out like a container of liquid. In other words, that when you looked at him, when you came, he was so, he filled you with such fear that literally you'd melt, right? Literally you just pour all over the place. Ashpaso kekever pasach. Now this is no longer talking about Amon over here. This is now talking about the army of Nebuchadnezzar. So the Navi, when describing the strength of the army of Nebuchadnezzar, says ashpaso. Now we'll discuss what that means. Ashpaso kekever pasuach. Kulam gibarim. Their ashpaso was like an open grave. They were all strong. But look at Rashi just a moment. Rashi says ashpaso kekever pasuach bechayalos shal Nebuchadnezzar ksiv. It's talking about the armies of Nebuchadnezzar. So what does it mean? So Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi Chad Amar Bishar Shazarkin Chetz Osin Ashpasos Ashpasos Shachalalim. Some say that in the army of Nebuchadnezzar they were such skilled archers that one arrow would create ashpas like a pile, would create piles and piles of corpses. V'shema Tomar Shomnin Bikrav. So maybe you'll say, well, it's not because they were so strong. It's just because they were very adept in battle. Talmud Lomar, Kulam Giborim. Therefore, the Pasuk says they were all very strong. The Chadam or others say, B'shasha Osin Sarcheyen, Osin Ashpasos Ashpasos. It's interesting. So here the Gemara says, others say that when the soldiers of Nebuchadnezzar would relieve themselves, when they would defecate, so they would create mounds and mounds of human waste. Ashpasos Ashpasos Shal Zevel. Both say, now, interestingly enough, the Gemara understands this to be a sign of vitality, that they ate so much, because of their strength, and therefore they had a lot of waste. So the Maybe you say maybe they had intestinal issues. You know, maybe they just had stomach problems. Therefore, the pasuk says no, they were all exceptionally strong. So here's what's interesting. So essentially, what the Gemara's unasked question is, like, why exactly do we need to know this? Meaning, like, what purpose does this serve? This piece of information. So it's actually very interesting. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Mari, Shma Mina, Haiman de Nafish Zible, Choli Me'ayimu. We'll say, so what we see from here is the fact that when they relieve themselves often and with a lot of waste, that was a sign of their strength. But for stama person, just understand that if a person has to constantly relieve themselves, they're sick. Meaning that's a sign of sickness. So the Gemara says, "Lemay nafkamina." So what does this matter? Litrach benafshe. Both say what it means. Look at Rashi. Litrach benafshe. It doesn't mean say tehillim. Rashi says. It says levakish lerefuas tarnich bar choyot and go to the doctor. Go to the doctor. Meaning the Gemara is saying, the Gemara is teaching us is to teach you that by the soldiers of Nebuchadnezzar. So this was a sign of vitality. By stama person, this is a sign, ultimately, again, of sickness. Therefore, if a person has this situation, make sure to go to the doctor. So the Gemara says, "Bal says something really beautiful." We'll end with this. So Gemara says, "Daga b'lev ish yishchena." So Bal says, literally, the pasuk says, "Daga b'lev ish, worry in the heart of man yashchena." What does yashchena mean? Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Chad Amar yashchena b'daito. Bal says, take a look at Rashi. Yashchena, yisichena bedaito. A person should remove worry from their heart. V'chad amar yisichena la'achir. And others say what it means is what? Make sure to share it with others. So this is actually quite beautiful. So here I have this pasuk in Mishlei that says that if you have worry in your heart, yashchena. We'll say, how does one deal with worries? How does one deal with the worries of life? So the Gemara gives two strategies. Sometimes, yashchena, you have to just literally put it out of your mind. You know, what's like if a person sits and contemplates all of the problems that they have, either as individuals, as a nation, if they contemplate all the difficulties in life, so it could paralyze an individual. Sometimes you have to compartmentalize your problems. Don't think about them all the time. Compartmentalize and do what you have to do to move on and to accomplish. Other opinions said, well, that's not really going to help. Most people can't compartmentalize like that. So what can you do? Sometimes if you share it with others, you unburden yourself a little bit, even though nothing has qualitatively changed in your circumstances, but the act of sharing your problems with others lightens your heart just a little bit and allows you to move forward with what you need to accomplish. All right, well, so we'll stop over here. First, I'll pick up bottom of my base tomorrow.